This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run, 7:47, Tuesday, the 12th of July. And let's have a little chat about inflation, because global food and crude oil prices have surged on the back of the world's wheat and energy supplies being put under immense strain by a war in Ukraine. And it looks like inflation is not transitory. In fact, it's here to stay. In fact, the World Bank has come out to say that it expects food prices to rise by about 20% this year. And as a result of these inflation concerns, the government has formed a special task force on jihad against inflation earlier this month, chaired by the Communications and Multimedia Minister Tan Sri Anwar Musa. The task force has made several attempts to address cost of living issues in the country. They're looking to encourage cheaper sales campaigns by retailers and have been instructed palm oil agencies to reduce cooking oil prices. In fact, last week, the task force asked Bank Negara and the Department of Statistics Malaysia to provide clarification for the increase in the overnight policy rate, which was raised by 25 basis points. So for some thoughts on the task force effectiveness and their calls for institutions like Bank Negara to explain itself better, we have on the line with us economist Dr. Nung Sari A. Radi. Good morning, Dr. Nung. Now, what do you make of the Jihad's task force call for Bank Negara and the Department of Statistics Malaysia to explain the increase of the OPR? Is this a warranted move?
Well, the problem is actually the task force itself, which in my view is just a cabinet subcommittee, because the members are just members of the cabinet. And the problem is the chair is the communications minister, and that speaks volume to the whole thing. You know, had they made the finance minister or the economics minister chairman, then I'm sure both gentlemen would know that all they needed to do was actually to read the statement released by the MPC, and that would clarify the reasons that is obvious and also not so obvious in that statement for why BNM did what it did. So I think it's not so much the asking Bank Negara to explain, for which Bank Negara should do a better job to explain, but also the way the task force is structured, in particular, who's chairing the task force.
Now, at the same time, Finance Minister Tunku Zafro did come out to say that the government cannot interfere with Bank Negara's monetary policy decisions. What kind of messaging is he trying to convey when he says something like that, at the same time where the task force says we want an explanation on why the overnight policy rate was raised?
It's good that he did that. I think probably the Minister of Finance has a much sort of a broader perspective on these things and why there is a need for, at least if it's not in actual 100%, but actually in perception that actually Bank Negara's conduct of monetary policy and also, you know, other regulations of banks are independent of the government. That's very important. And I think he realizes that, and he said that. But it's also, I don't know whether you caught up this interview yesterday by somebody in the Prime Minister's department, the so-called economics advisor or something, who said that actually the government should be looking at amending the Bank Negara Act that actually gave Bank Negara the independence to conduct monetary policy. And I'm very concerned that actually that some of these things, these are serious issues of managing inflation, cost of living, but also while doing that, they shouldn't be undermining major economic institutions in the country, which has been compromised in some ways. I think EPF has been diminished in a sense the last couple of years by all these withdrawals, and the fact that it has not been, it will not be able to fulfill its raison d'etre. I think the finance minister himself said that actually that policy would have resulted in raising the cost of borrowing for government, and actually it has already done that. SC, so Securities Commission, has also been tarnished somewhat. So please don't keep on tarnishing major economic institutions. And if Bank Negara is next on the line, I think they should defend themselves, but also other people should also come forward and defend the integrity of economic institutions in this country.
And let's remind people, right, in most jurisdictions, let's say in the US and in England, there is very clear demarcation, right, between the role of the central bank and the Minister of Finance, isn't there? And the reason for that, Dr. Nung, sorry, if you can just remind us.
Yeah, because actually, the Minister of Finance is a politician, is a member of cabinet, whereas the governor of the central bank is not. In the conduct of economic policy, there's clear demarcation between the conduct of fiscal policy, which is in the domain of the Treasury, Minister of Finance, as opposed to the conduct of monetary policy, which is in the domain of the central bank. Now, if the decisions on central banking in Benegara is subject to political considerations, then it will totally undermine confidence in the economic governance of the country, because we know for a fact that actually all politicians would be subjected to populist demands and considerations, and that's not necessarily empirically driven or even in the best interest of the broader common good. So that's why we need a separation, and the law actually right now actually gave that independence to Benegara. It's just that Benegara, I think, should do a better job explaining why it did what it did.
Okay. And what else can they do, like an institution like Benegara or even an SC ring-fence themselves more, aside from the current law? Is it to appoint a better, whether it's different people to the committee, different have a very independent governor? What's the best way forward?
I think the appointments to the boards and commissioners, SC, EPF and even Benegara, actually is done by the Minister of Finance. So that's why I said earlier when he commented on what he did, I think it was not the right thing to do, because actually it is the appointment of the Minister of Finance. You need to put the right sort of people, you know, at the end of the day. You know, you have laws, laws can be amended, of course, but even if you have the best of laws, if you don't have the right kinds of people, it's going to fail.
Okay, let's shift the conversation to the task force, or at least the Jihad Task Force on Inflation. Like you say, it seems like a committee that overlaps with a lot of functions that other ministries are doing. So is this just a populist measure to appease people that something is being done?
Yeah, the fact that it's being said by the communication minister, the finance minister or the economics minister seems to suggest that's the case. And I think... I'm not being, you know, flippant or whatever, but by saying this, they've been making statements that actually there hasn't been making a lot of economic sense. I think, you know, some of the reasons for why there's inflation is beyond our control. Some of the reasons, some of the things that we can do to mitigate those effects are within our control, one of which is the conduct of monetary policy. That's fine. That's Benegara stuff. I think the committee should be looking at how to augment, how to help people, those most affected by this. And that's a domain of fiscal policy. I think here again, as in during the PKP, you know, you cannot just shift government's fiscal responsibility to other institutions to do it. They did that to EPF, they did that to the banks, moratorium of loans without really putting skin in the game. And in this case, you cannot hamper monetary policy, conduct monetary policy, because you don't want to take action on the fiscal side of things, you know, because you're constrained by, you know, whatever, lack of revenue and so on. But that's the kind of problem you need to be solving. It's not a logistical issue, you know, it's not like a middleman, jihad against orang tengah kind of thing. Those are the wrong kinds of language to be talking, actually.
So let's say you were the Minister of Finance, Dr. Nung Sari. What would you do to alleviate inflation, which would actually address some of the structural problems that we have been facing, and not just recently, but also in the past also, that has caused this inflation to rise, albeit some of it is global?
I think the stuff that's the result of external factors, there's nothing much we can do, and should we not be wasting time on that. The stuff that we can do domestically is actually let Benegara do its stuff. To manage, you know, whatever, they don't say it, but manage the interest rate and cost of imported inflation and so on. Let them do their stuff. What is it that Treasury can do? Treasury can do is, what is Treasury's problem? Treasury wants to do more, but they can't do more because they don't have money. They don't have money because they don't have enough revenue. and also because their costs, their expenditure is high. So I will be looking at short-term measures to increase revenue and to cut costs so that I have a bit more to actually help those who need help most right now. And it's a lot of people who need help most. And do something about this. They've been saying this thing about targeted subsidy. They've been paying billions and billions and billions. I read somewhere it's close to 80 billion this year of total subsidies. You know, they can. And then the minister himself admitted that actually most of it goes not to the targeted group, but to people like me, I suppose. You know, I buy RON 95. I buy one kilogram packets of cooking oil because that's cheaper. Mm. So why do you allow somebody like me to benefit from this? So if I can enhance revenue in the short term, decrease expenditure in the short term, and actually be more efficient in the way that I spend money to subsidize those that are in need of subsidy, then I could do a lot more. But I don't see any one of those three things being done earnestly.
Yeah, but with the elections coming up, is there the political will though? Is that the reason why things haven't, there's been no change?
We are in deep doo-doo, if that's the case, Xiao Nick. Then means why don't we just call it elections and get it over with, and maybe we can address some of this more difficult question. It needs to be addressed because seriously, these are serious issues, short term, but also we need to make some painful decision in the longer term.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was economist Dr. Nung Sari giving us his views on how we can perhaps resolve inflation, some of which is important and little we can do because they are global issues. But up next, we've got the breakfast grill. But before that, of course, the 8 a.m. news bulletin. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.